This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome to the second hour of Immunize Wisely. My guest, Susan Clark, has been giving us so much important information. A lot of people will tune into the show late, and I just want to encourage you to go to the archive and listen to the first hour so we don't have to repeat a lot. There's stuff I'm actually going to listen to. I have never actually gone into the archives and listened to one of my programs, and this is going to be a first. I'm going to re-listen to it because I was taking notes, and I missed a couple things. I know people are going to want to know, well, where do I get a template for a cease and desist letter, and is there a contact portal for Susan Clark? How do I get a hold of her if I have questions? And so I know we might as well just take care of that right away and tell everyone that we will take callers the last half hour of the show.
Okay. So if people would like to reach me, they can do so at the website Scientists for Wired Tech, and I'll give you the address after this. But the website, if you do that, Scientists plural, the number 4, Wired with a D, Tech, T-E-C-H, and I know there's some like noise in the background, so I'll say that again. Scientists plural, the number 4, Wired with a D on the end, and Tech, T-E-C-H, .com / Susan, and then you'll see that's the page for me that's on there. But if you'd like to write to me directly, it's S as in Susan, the number 4, W, T as in tech, _ health, H-E-A-L-T-H, at, and then again, scientistsforwiredtech.com. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Can you give that email again? I'm writing. I'm going to put it in the chat. And the chat is immunizewisely.chatandgo, because I'm like, whoa, I got the website, but the email,
Okay, the email is, it's like Scientists for Wired Tech. It's S, as in scientists, 4, the number 4, W, T, _ health, H-E-A-L-T-H. So S4WT _ H-E-A-L-T-H. Okay, so that's the address, at, and then the whole website, scientistsforwiredtech.com. You'll see tons of phenomenal information there, in proof of all of the things that I say, by the way. So in case you have any doubt, feel free to go there and poke around, and you'll see it all. You know, in case you doubt me that Congress actually originally was, you know, the industry had written operations into that preemption clause, and that Congress positively removed operations, positively leaving operations in the hands of the regulatory hands of state and local officials, which means that they can regulate that radiation based on any and all reasons and grounds and effects. So health effects, environmental effects, agricultural effects, you name it, everything. Not only are they authorized so to regulate, they are obligated so to do. So this is where you need to enlighten your public officials. And keep in mind, when people hear the same thing for 24 years, it's drilled into them. It's like it functions like a religion or like a cult. So you have to be empathetic. You have to understand that it's going to take some time and gentleness for them to kind of come out of their false belief and into a truer belief. So give them that time and space. Give them the information that they need, the documents that they need. Help them along. Empower them. Hold their hand. Just give them some time to come around, and they will. And they will really be grateful to you, almost all of them.
Right.
So we were talking about that. Now, how then do people regulate? How do officials regulate operations? Well, there are a lot of great ways. One of them, for example, is to say that, you know what, we are going to limit the amount of energy that you impose upon the ambient environment. Now, that is already totally within state and local officials' governance, because it's like, you know, a business, if a business wants to use a certain amount of energy, well, you know, that's kind of limited. You know, you can't just start up a business and then soak up, you know, half of the energy use of the entire community, right? So that energy usage will be limited. That's already inscribed in most local laws. So we're just going to take it to the next level, because we have both those local laws in place that do that, and we also have a federal law, namely the preemption clause of the Telecommunications Act of 96 itself, which allows that, well, operations. So what do? We say, you know, this wattage that's coming off the top, you just think of a light bulb, right? Okay, a light bulb has so many watts, 60 watts, 100 watts, whatever it is. Well, they have a wattage, right, too, on this antenna, right? And it's beaming off from the top, and you say, you know, we're going to limit that wattage, which is called effective radiated power, ERP, effective radiated power. We're going to limit that to, and what we recommend is 40 milliwatts. 40 milliwatts. And the reason we recommend limiting it to that is that that's the amount that it would take for, you know, an antenna to provide cell phone coverage for a half mile at 5 bars on a cell phone. Now, by the way, I have never owned a cell phone. I never will. I don't have Wi-Fi. I never have. I would never, ever do that, because my background is, you know, in research at Harvard School of Public Health, and specifically in the area of radio frequency radiation bioeffects. So I would never, ever own any such device. But it's important for people to understand that this can be limited then. So let's say that antenna then is limited to 40 milliwatts, which still provides 5 bars on a cell phone in every direction for half a mile, you know, depending on the topography, right? It might be a little different if you're way down the valley or whatever, okay? And that's more than the cell phone companies actually ask, because they ask for 2,000 feet in any direction, and this gives them somewhat more than that. So it's like giving them more, okay? But what does that produce then inside a nearby home? It's probably going to be less than the level that the bioinitiative recommends that things stay below, even though that's not a safe level. There is no safe level. Okay. One of the reasons there's no safe level, by the way, if we can switch into the science a little bit for the moment, is because of the modulation. All right, the modulation with, you know, all of this wireless deployment involves pulse modulated microwave radiation. It's microwave radiation across the board. Okay, microwave radiation in, if you hold your hands apart by about 20 inches in front of you, that's a wavelength. That 20-inch wavelength is a decimeter wavelength. That's one of the first ones that T-Mobile already has gotten sort of all over the country newly. And if you move your hands down to sort of between 2 and 4 inches, there are 4 different wavelengths between 2 and 4 inches. Those are centimeter wavelengths. And then if you put your thumb and your index finger together and just look really, really, really tiny space there, that's millimeter wavelengths. So 5G involves all three, decimeter, centimeter, and millimeter wavelengths. And that's part of the problem, because it covers the span of different sizes of biological beings and biological organs inside bodies, and even potentially with resonances for cells and DNA, not to mention water. So these wavelengths are optimally absorbed by way of their lengths. And that's why it's important, by the way, everyone wants you to speak in terms of frequency. That's what all the engineers are taught to do in school. But frequency is a kind of hard concept for non-scientists to grasp. Plus, sometimes it's understood to be a sort of new agey kind of concept, and people kind of tune out sometimes to that. But if you're talking about wavelength, that's very plain. You can hold your hands up and have other people hold their hands up so that they understand. They can see it. They can kind of feel it. And they can understand that this is the most important point about the science at all. If you have one, if you need one point to take home, this is it. As a wavelength approaches body part size, the absorption of that radiation increases exponentially toward resonance. Now, let's not even talk about toward resonance yet, but just imagine that you've got, let's say, think of the various dimensions of your brain, of your head, of your heart, of your thyroid, of your thymus, your liver, okay, and your genitalia, right? Think of all those dimensions. Yeah, guys, think of those dimensions. I actually said that in front of a public meeting at one time. That was in Connecticut, I think in 1999. And I had only, this is an aside, it's just a funny story as an aside. I had only 4 minutes to speak. There were Verizon guys in suits, black suits, right next to me. And I just told them about this principle. This is basic engineering. Every engineer understands this. As a wavelength approaches body part size, the absorption of that radiation increases exponentially toward resonance. So I just held my hands up to a certain length and I said, do you have any body parts this size? So anyway, so because we have to get it through, we have to help people understand, right? And because our bodies are approximately 70% moisture, you know, the moisture content differs from one place to the next. It's variably moist. We have different parts of our body that are more absorbent than others, and we can get hot spots, right? Even as there are hot spots within the head that form. But even heat is not relevant, right? Because we're talking about here direct, not secondary, but direct biological effects. And many, many people talk about that, and you've no doubt heard all of those people talk about it. So this is the key piece, because now let's think of all of the different dimensions of your head. If you start from one point anywhere on the outside of your head and go to any other point on the outside of your head, that's going to make a little line segment, right? How many line segments are there? Infinity, right? And so how many different dimensions of your head are there? Infinity. Okay? And that means that one of those dimensions, at least, is going to match that wavelength of that particular infrastructure that's outside the home, or of somebody else's cell phone, or of somebody's Wi-Fi. That's why this is very harmful. I was talking back in 97 with an engineer from MACOM, which is, or was anyway, a microwave radiation company in Burlington, Massachusetts, and this engineer said to me in just this voice, they couldn't have picked a worse wavelength for the cell phone system. That's the size of the human head, meaning adult head, right? Now they have all these wavelengths, like those centimeter ones that I told you about before, 2 to 4 inches. They have these wavelengths that are the size of a child's and a baby's head and brain, okay? So that they're much, much more absorbed. Okay, this is why this is so harmful. It's one of the many reasons, because there are many parameters, okay, and but the modulation of the wave is what makes it so xenobiotic. That's X-E-N-O, biotic. Xenobiotic, which means foreign to life, foreign to the living system. This is so foreign to the living system that Professor Henry Lai, now retired from University of Washington, actually said, and it shocked even me, he said, there is no radiation like this in the entire universe, he said. The cosmos.
Right.
Okay, really shocked me. That's what he said. So we need to take this very serious. This is highly unnatural and very harmful to our biological system. It's literally an assault on all life on Earth. And that's why I put my life out on the line for all life on Earth. And that's why I ask everyone else too, you know, and as I said, you know, prior to the show, all that I could think is that I had to tell people, please love everyone. Please alleviate suffering everywhere you can. Please, every instance where you think that you can alleviate some suffering or stop or avert suffering, do it. Every person who is EMS, electromagnetically sensitive, help that person in any way that you can. And particularly by, you know, stopping any kind of wireless usage. So anyway, I just wanted to give you, though, the good news about how we can, the other ways that we can modify the operation. So one thing we can do is say, you know what? Our city wants to limit every WTF to only 40 milliwatts effective radiated power, ERP. And here's how we'll do it. We are going to put a fuse on our own street furniture, which you're using our own light poles, you know, So if you're going to use our equipment, we can use your equipment, and we're going to put a fuse on it that just allows you 40 milliwatts. If you go over 40 milliwatts, you're going to get a penalty. You're going to have to pay a fine. It could be $25,000 or whatever. And if you do it a second time, if you go over it a second time and the fuse goes out and we have to repair the fuse and whatever, then you're going to pay $50,000. Maybe the next time you're going to pay $100,000, something like that. And you do it three times and you're out. Now you have to remove your wireless telecommunications facility. That's what we mean by it's just an example of what you can do to regulate on the basis of operations, to regulate the operations, rather. You can do that. Public officials can totally do that. Something else you can do is this. Because all of these wireless facilities actually increase the transients or dirty electricity in the electrical wiring for the entire town or city or county, you can say, you know what, we don't want all that dirty electricity in our wiring here. We don't want that. So we're going to put a filter on your street equipment, on your equipment. And remember, your equipment is on our equipment, so we are going to put our equipment on your equipment. We're going to put a filter on here so that you don't pass those dirty electricity transients all around our town. We don't want them. And so you put a filter on, right, but at their expense. Okay? And then what else can you do? Well, here's the latest idea that we've come up with. Let's suppose that that you have successfully limited your WTF to some level of ERP, maybe it's 40 milliwatts, but you want to alert the public what is really going on. Like sometimes it'll be 39 milliwatts, right? And at other times it may only be 5 milliwatts. And so there are members of the public who don't want to be walking by that thing or anywhere near it when it's 39 milliwatts, right? And so you can have like a little traffic light kind of thing on it that has red, you know, red, yellow, and green. And if it's down around, you know, 5 milliwatts, then it's going to look green. And if it's like 20 milliwatts, it might look yellow. And it's up at, if it's in the 30s, it's going to be red. And that way, people who are vulnerable, people who have disabilities that require them to avoid it, will know. You know, or friends can tell them, hey, guess what? You know what it is on the tower right now? It's red right now, so don't even come over here. See, it would help protect everyone. Now, what else does that do when we start regulating the operations? It means that these companies are going to have to kind of get their ethical act in gear. They're going to have to go along with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we know what they're going to do, right? They're going to go to some other town first rather than going to your town. And then as soon as they go to that town, what do? We go, we rush to help out of love. We rush to help our neighbors. And we do the same thing over in that town. Oh, and then they go to another town. Okay, let's rush to help our neighbors in that next town, and on and on and on. We will rush to help all our neighbors all over the country. And then we win.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is exactly the model we need to do. You know, unite all of us and doing these cease and desist letters. So you're saying that it's at the website. If I look at, you know, beyond the scientistsforwiredtech.com/Susan, if I basically look around there, I'm going to find your latest template. Is that correct?
That one is not on that page, and the thing is, right now, for tomorrow, I'm creating a whole new one that is going to be much better, that is completely updated. Our original C&D that went out to the whole country was from November 25th, and that one is outdated by way of the decisions of December, well, the decision of December 5th in particular, so where we got a lot more power. So I'm increasing the sturdiness of this letter so that it absolutely will transform your public officials, and you just have to kind of keep coming back to them. You say, just read the letter, understand it, check with your attorneys, and remember, I just want to ask one more technique, too. If your officials continue to say, our hands are tied, and you continue to just laugh and say, don't worry, I'll untie them, at some point, you can come back to them and say, look, okay, we've tried to untie your hands. We've given you all the law. So now you tell us. We're asking you, quo warranto, Q-U-O, quo warranto. That's Latin for by what authority. And if you can't provide that authority, it doesn't exist.
That's correct. Okay, you're listening to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. We have a little less than 6 minutes before the stretch of close to 20 minutes. And so we're going to take callers after the next break. That's 1-800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. So, Susan, gosh, you know, I could have you on another show, a whole other show. There's so much to talk about. Oh, my gosh.
There is so much to talk about.
This is amazing.
And by the way, I give a four-hour course on what not to do. You know, what to do is something that is very differential, you know, from one community to the next. How to do it is just completely different. But what not to do is actually quite consistent across the entire country and even across the world, ironically. So, you know, if anybody wants to to get the documents from me, just write to me. If you want to set up an opportunity to learn more, feel free to write to me again at you know, scientists. Well, it's actually S4WT_health@scientistforwaretech.com. And I believe that Ingrid has also written this in the chat for the show. And by the way, you know, we're just surviving on contributions, and just my computer was not only dead or killed Friday a week ago, it's been sitting in a certain office for repair with a new motherboard, and guess what happened just this morning? Someone broke in the glass of the store. The front of the store was completely broken in. Someone was trying to obviously get in. Who knows whether it was, you know, from my computer or somebody else's, but they couldn't get in because of a steel door in between the front portion and the back. But it's still very vulnerable. I don't have my data with me, so I have to reconstruct everything as best I can, but I don't have much. So that's why, you know, anything that anybody can do to help out. My husband does have, for example, a Venmo account, V-E-N-M-O, venmo.com/Len Johnston. That's L-E-N-N. Johnston is J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N. Len Johnston, and you can also see him at lenjohnston.com if you want to see something fun and wonderful and relieving and entertaining from all of this.
But, okay, so yeah, so people, I'm sure there are people that would like to donate to your work because you have a huge task ahead, and we, you know, it's like literally creating an army, and you know, like your 4-hour presentation, you know, as to what not to do. Is that anywhere on the website, for instance?
No, I mean, because it's something that has to be given in person, and the reason it does, and I've actually been asked to do this, this involves in a certain sense legal strategy, right? And because of that, you don't play your hand. You don't put that out in public. It's not something that you say, oh, here, you know, look, I figured out by reverse engineering, I figured out the industry playbook. Do we want to just put ours out in public and say and publicize it? Here it is, industry, here's our playbook.
Right.
Uh-uh. We don't do that. And that's why I only talk with trusted people. We can do conference calls. We can do a portion of that. We can do a longer, whatever people want. But I set that up with people who are trusted.
Yes.
Because we don't
want
industry.
So it has to be strictly by
Right, absolutely.
Invitation.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But if people want to write to me with their questions or, you know, any help that they need in their community, I can set them up probably with some other people who are already in their community and are inquiring. And we've got, you know, just lots of material. For example, the petition that I mentioned earlier, the Boston petition of public health scientists, this can be used as evidence in your public, with your public officials. Look, this was essentially the whole public science, the most powerful public health science community rising up with one voice to say, no, we can't even have the 3G infrastructure, much less the 4G or 5G. Mm-hmm. No, we can't, because it's harmful. It causes personal injury.
Right.
So if anyone
yes.
wants those documents, just
Absolutely.
Write to me and I'll send them out to you. I should make one more point, too, which is that many people have qualify under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and so we have a whole package of sample, redacted, private ADA letters that people can look at in order to help them write their own, and then I can help them do that final, you know, edit so that they're, you know, they're ready to go and they're not hurting themselves in any way. Sometimes people put too much, frankly, in their ADA request, and it can actually be damaging to them. So I try to protect them from that. I also help people write their testimonies all the time. We have a phenomenal community in Thousand Oaks, California right now, for example. Just phenomenal people. We had so many different testimonies. You want to have every testimony in your community vetted. You want to make sure that everybody goes up there to speak, knows what they're doing, that they've timed their speech so that it's going to be in the, you know, within whatever your public official will respect what your public officials want, even though it's technically not lawful for them to require your speech
right.
to be only 2 or 3 minutes. But, you know, if we respect them and stay within those limits and allow many more people to speak, we can dovetail those presentations. We can make them comprehensive in covering all of the different topics within this subject that are important. They can hear the facts and laws, and we win.
Right. In other words, you know, if you're all coordinated, everyone gives 2 minutes of a concerted effort of a presentation, and everyone has their sentences that they're going to read into the record.
Right. And we present everything simultaneously in writing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thank you. We'll take
thank
callers
so
after
much.
The break. So please call 800-313-9443.
Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Wisely with my guest, Susan Clark. She is giving us some fantastic information, and the archive of the show I know is going to be listened to over and over again, at least by people in our group, taking notes and going to the website she gave us. Anyway, right now we don't have any callers, so I'm sure a lot of people just want to hear Susan continue to speak on what she's so good at. So, you want to summarize? I mean, summarize, oh my gosh.
Summarize, no,
you can't summarize everything that you gave us. I'm like looking at, you know, just, okay, this is one of the things I didn't quite catch for myself, was that, you know, we're not certainly, you know, begging. We're not a concerned citizen. You're just giving the facts. So you attest and affirm. So that means that you're giving factual information with documented science. You don't say as a concerned citizen or anything. You never introduce yourself as that. But when you conclude, you say, I have expressed no matter of concern, and then you had something else before you say that I accept your oath of office. And what was that statement?
Usually we say I've expressed no matter of concern or any other non-substantive matter. So I've expressed no matter of concern or any other non-substantive matter, but solely matters of substance, of fact and law. And then you win, okay? Or then you're much more likely to win in any case. But I did want to give you a little more good news, if I may, because this has to do with the third decision, well, sort of the second decision, the judiciary decision at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And that is that certain things are regulated and unregulated under FCC. Title I is called unregulated. Title II is called regulated. And in the past, both voice transmissions and also internet data transmissions fell under Title II, regulated. However, that all disappeared with regard to internet data transmissions, and they fell back to Title I, unregulated. This is a big deal, because in the courtroom, the judges actually said to FCC, because FCC wanted to deregulate itself. It was asking the court to deregulate it. Like, what agency asks to be deregulated, right? FCC was doing that, and the judges actually asked, you know, are you sure, FCC, what you're asking? You know, this would fall back to the states, and FCC said, yes, this is what we want. So the judge banged the gavel, yes, okay, that goes back to the states and local governments then. That means that there is complete control, no preemption at all, complete control over internet data transmissions in state and local governments. So this is really, really good news because, for example, when you go to your planning commission and you see, here's a new application for a WTF that's going to be on my corner of my block, or it's going to be right next to my friend's place or something like that, or my friend's business, here it is. You're looking at that application. One of the things you can look at is the frequency. When you see that frequency is, you know, you can decide based on that frequency. You can figure out whether that is voice transmission or internet data transmission. And that's something I won't get into in this call. But you can learn. In fact, you can go online with the number, actually, and you'll learn what it is. If it's internet data, that's completely regulable. Mm-hmm. There is no preemption. There's nothing about health effects or environmental effects or this or that. Nothing. Your city can say, well, you know, we actually don't need more internet data transmissions right here. There's no need for it. And if there's no need, there is no right. The carrier doesn't have a right if there is no need. But let's suppose that, you know, the city doesn't agree to go along with that. Well, then what's your next line of defense? You say, you know what, if there are internet data transmissions that are intended to come here, we have a pretty good idea then that there is fiber optic cable under the ground because that's what they use to do 5G, okay, transmissions. If there's already fiber optic cable there, then you can actually poke around in telecommunications and in your city's planning and zoning. You know, who knows the map of the fiber here in our town or city, right? And you can find out, yep, there's fiber. And guess what? That fiber, is that fiber publicly or privately owned? Almost always, it's publicly owned. Hey, guess what? If that fiber is publicly owned, it means you paid for it. In fact, you paid for all that fiber that went all across the country, starting in phone bills in the early 1990s. And you've been paying in every single phone bill a fee to build out that fiber optic network. It is owned by you. It is yours. How dare some wireless for-profit company come along and say, oh, I think we're going to just hijack that cable and not let anybody else have it, and we're just going to use it exclusively, and we're going to use it exclusively to spray radiation at you so you can get poor internet service when you could have superior, phenomenal internet service by using a splitter on that cable and taking some of that cable to the premises for each person who wants it. Now, does every person have to have fiber to the premises, FTP? No, you're not obligated to do it. But if you say that, then you're at least stopping the radiation to a certain extent. You're saying, no, this is publicly owned. And by the way, where does that fiber go? It goes through, ready, public rights of way. Hey, it's publicly owned. It goes through public rights of way, and now this private for-profit company wants to take it exclusively and use it to make profit off of us by forcing upon us an inferior, bad-engineered wireless deployment? No way. No way. And you can, and then you can actually say, as your final argument to the city or town or county, you can say, look, There's public fiber here. Don't you understand that if you connect this fiber to the local homes and businesses, you can make money off of it? This is good for the local economy. Take this public fiber and use it. Run it all the way to the premises and go ahead and let the city make money on it rather than letting some private for-profit wireless company make money off of it. With one of those arguments, you'll probably succeed. Mm-hmm. At least you'll open minds. Now, what's the danger? Right now, there are companies coming along, wireless companies, and they're running private fiber. That's where you need to say to your township, what are you thinking? You could be running public mm-hmm. fiber here and earning some money off of it. Now, let me qualify this by saying, do I think that running fiber optic cable under every last bit of Mother Earth is healthy and good for Mother Earth? No.
No.
But which is worse? Okay, which is worse? Spraying radiation upon every little bee and butterfly, which will all die off. Every bird, bee, butterfly, every flying insect must die from 5G. In fact, it must die from 4G and even 3G over mm-hmm. time. There just hasn't been enough time for 3G to kill off all the bees yet, or enough time for 4G. But 5G will do it. Boom. They'll be gone.
That's
so
right.
So do we want to say... So to stop that, okay, we can say, you know what, we're regulating the operations here, and in fact, we don't even have to say this doesn't fall under the Telecommunications Act of 1996. This is completely unregulated, which means that regulation falls to us, and we can regulate it on all of that list, that litany that I provided you before. Ready? Health effects, environmental effects, agricultural effects, property value effects, historic preservation effects, weather effects, weather forecasting effects, meteorological effects, astronomical effects, and local economy, all of these things and more. Yes, we can regulate on this big basis. Yes, we've untied the hands. Our state and local officials are empowered and can now help us.
Yeah, this is probably the best news show I've done in a long time. No, this is very empowering. Thank you so much. As you know,
can I tell you something? I just have to. May I tell you something that is really sad here? Because, you know, I also, like yourself, I invited a large group of people from the Pacific Northwest to come to the show, and they were going to ask questions. The leader of the community wrote back to me. In fact, I can even read you her email. Well, I'll just tell you about it. She looked at the website, and she saw the word Republic. And she was looking at the website, and she saw things about, you know, wise immunization and vaccines. And she said, I don't think this is a good station for you to be on. Excuse me? She led her entire group of people not to hear this information? Just because she didn't like the political party that it was looking like it was associated with? She stopped her entire state. Her state. She's in charge of the high... Okay, she leads the entire state. And she stopped that particular state, as far as I know, from listening. And from gaining this information that could stop.
She made, right, which is sad because we live in a republic... And this is not a Republican station. It's not a Democrat station. It's not an independent. It's not a libertarian. Most of us believe in the rule of law, it's backed by our constitution, our federal and state constitutions. So that's where most of us are coming from. And, it is a good station. And last, week I just had on, the co-director or co-president of Informed Choice Washington, that she would be wise to be networking with because they're into all health issues that affect everyone in Washington and that everyone should be having, you know, informed consent on all health issues. And this
Absolutely.
Would fall under that category. So it would seem to me that she would want to network with Bernadette Pager, who has, a lot of experience, working with her city council. And, you know, she's actually fighting right now over PCB poisoning of her child's school. And, getting everyone convinced that know, the children were actually poisoned with PCBs is a whole other thing. She said it's difficult, you know, unless your child has been affected. And there were a lot of children that were affected that were more susceptible. But I'm just saying, you know,
let me respond to that too.
You know, we all should be networking. We all should be working together instead of, you know, having our prejudices, surface. And, you know,
right.
Presumptions.
And see, that's why
a lot of presumptions.
When it comes to infrastructural radiation and this deployment, right, this affects everybody. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with left or right or middle or green or red or anything, right? This is everyone. This is all life on Earth, okay? So when people are still within some party understanding, they're not getting the larger picture, you know? Or if they're thinking, well, I don't believe that stuff about, you know, vaccines being hazardous. Well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm a public health scientist. And, of course, the whole field of public health science was based in the idea of a well-immunized population is whatever. You know, but you just look at the ingredients. If you have toxic ingredients, you've got hazardous vaccines. There's no other way around that. And it's not just one. It's not just a risk that something may happen to someone. No, everyone who has a vaccine with toxic ingredients is adversely affected. Everyone across the board. That's basic toxicology. That's basic public health science. You can't get around that, okay? Everyone who has had any vaccine is somewhat vaccine injured, even if that person didn't really notice it or isn't quite aware. And so we need, I'm saying this because I'm standing up also for what you're trying to get across, you know, as perhaps your more primary mission. Mm-hmm. No public health scientist can, this is just basic science. If you've got toxic ingredients,
it is.
You have a hazardous vaccine. You can't get around that, you know?
Yeah, you know, I just have to say that has been probably our main thrust is to, you know, get people to understand that the germ theory is all wrong. It's all about a healthy microbiome, and toxicology is at the root of all of our problems. You poison the air, food, and water in one way or another, and you're going to have ill health, you know, on all biological life. So that's what they've done. You know, they poison the air, water, and food. And certainly right now, you know, we have this, toxin that you can't see, touch, taste, or feel. I had Jim West as really great on that. He's always investigating, well, what's the toxicology? And I had him on the show, and he's done a great deal of work on the dangers of prenatal ultrasound, which is a form of radiation, and people don't
really
want to look at that either, you know.
You know, my mentor.
I mean, with the FDA, you know. Yeah,
my mentor at Harvard told me back in 1994 that ultrasound was hazardous. I mean, they knew it. People knew this. This is, you know, and yet pregnant women still go in for this? It's just astonishing. It's horrific.
Well, in 1992, a lot of people don't realize that the FDA just arbitrarily, at the behest of industry or whatever, increased the intensity eightfold. And all the studies on humans in utero were done in China because every woman, of course, was limited to having one child. So if she got pregnant a second time, she was slated for the ultrasound experiments. And so he found the 50 studies done on humans in China, all in English. And that was a tremendous find for us because there were zero studies done on humans on the safety of prenatal ultrasound. And so he's written a couple books, and it's really amazingly shocking. But,
wow.
You know, he's
thank
in,
you so much.
Yeah, you
yeah
know,
that, that's
lot,
really
so.
Phenomenal. I wanted to give one more piece of good news before we depart,
please.
Because I've also written legislation for all 50 states and the federal government that would stop 5G and other things across the board, many hazardous exposures. And so, you know, we have many different ways to approach here. We have ADA requests. We've got testimony. We've got letters. We've got the C&D letter in particular, and we've got legislation. So we've got all of these things to work with that are already written. They're already ready for people. They're ready to go. And we try to make it easy for people so that all they had to do is, if they go, for example, to mystreetmychoice.com, which is nice, easy, that's sort of a basic website to start out on. And then for more, you know, sophisticated information, scientists for the number four, wiredtech.com. That gives, you know, the more science and law so that people can investigate this as much or as little as they want, but at least they'll have all that they need to move forward and stop these WTFs as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to say one more thing, you know, because as of the August 9 decision, which started this whole process where, you know, NEPA and National Historic Preservation Act review were determined by the judiciary to be required, at that time, the administration, the Trump administration, actually began the process of weakening the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, which is really sad. And we certainly, there are lots of people who can stop that, you know, from being weakened. But we can really, we really need to use this as soon as possible, while we still have this window of opportunity, because once these antennas are up, you're not going to bring them down unless they were illegally put up.
Right.
So we have to do this now as soon as
possible. So what, in what way was NEPA weakened?
I don't know that specifically. I haven't seen the documents that have come in from the administration, but they did come into specifically FCC, and we heard from the FCC lawyers themselves that that was happening back in December. So we'll see. But, you know, we really have to be ready to jump on that board and make sure that we protect our environment, our health, our historic preservation, and so forth.
But currently, we can use the NEPA review process because that's not in effect necessarily. I mean, at least it hasn't trickled down to the state and county level where they have to, you know, satisfy that these placements have gone through this process.
Right. We can use this now. All I'm saying is that, folks, get off your chairs, get into your planning commission on the next business day, which is Tuesday, look through those documents, inspect them. You have a right to inspect them in almost every state, and find out what's in there, where those WTFs are planned to go, find out which are applied for and which are permitted, find out what the frequencies are, and all sorts of other information. The way you do is just go in there, ask to inspect. They might make you wait for a while they remove things that they don't want you to see, and then photograph every page in that file, so that you have it, and you can check it very, very carefully afterward.
Or you can ask if you can use their copy machine, right?
No, 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 no. Uh-uh, you cannot. No, you're not allowed to use their copy machine.
So you
machine.
Have to take
Absolutely
a cell. In other words, okay, so you need to take a camera in there. Okay, I could do that. Okay, we do have a caller. Kathy in Oregon, welcome to Immunize Wisely. Thank you for calling, Kathy. Do you have a question for Susan?
Yes, I just heard about your radio station today, and I so agree with Susan that we always have to band together, that this is not a time for divisiveness and fighting this 5G. And I've been involved in this movement now for 8.5 years, the wireless movement. I'm kind of one of the founders of FamiliesForSafeTechnology.org. But Susan, I wanted to ask you what you knew about the air regulator lawsuit. The air regulators, are you in with that lawsuit?
Well, here's what I did. I actually just got them funded. I got them funded by the Kennedy Children's Health Defense. And the way that that happened is that the person who is working closely with Kennedy actually sent her housemate to me to ask which lawsuit should we first fund from out of that Kennedy fund. And she asked me about each of four lawsuits that are ongoing. And this was the first one she asked about, and I said yes, because this is coming right up. It's not about environment or health, but it's an important, very important lawsuit nonetheless, and it's one that still is going to help us kind of chip away at those overreaching actions of FCC and help put FCC back in its back in the barn, if you will, where it belongs. So we need to... And Kennedy did immediately thereafter. Like I made that suggestion Friday night, Friday evening, mm-hmm. and by Sunday evening, the Children's Health Defense apparently had already funded that lawsuit.
Well, thank you so much. And if there's anything you could say, just a capsule about what the lawsuit would entail, and then you might want to give them the Environmental Health Trust site, because that's one of the best ones to access reliable information.
Well, I don't necessarily mm-hmm. agree with you, because we've had to make corrections to that site. For example, for a long time they were saying that 5G is solely millimeter wave, and I kept saying no, and other people were saying no, please don't say that. And because that was not corrected in a timely manner, we got a hit piece in the New York Times. And, you know, poor David Carpenter, who's in his 80s, had to suffer for that. So, because he trusted the EH Trust site. Now, if you want to go on the EH Trust site and you want to find some research, some science, great. Otherwise, I send you to Scientists for WireTech.
Oh, yeah, I know about them. I've talked to the founder of that.
Sure.
Thank you so much, and I'll get off the phone right now. But I will be emailing you separately sometime, Susan. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Really appreciate your contribution. And I know that there are other people listening, or if they're not, they're going to be wanting to access the archive, because I did spread it around the importance of this show. And like I said, I'm going to be accessing the archive myself. So we actually only have like 90 seconds. So if
okay.
you have
All right.
anything
well, let
else
me say
you want
one more
to share.
Thing. Sure. Please understand that the FCC guideline was based in scientific fraud, and I have proven that over and again in front of the chair of the committee that set that guideline numerous times, and he has never had anything to say in defense. So when people say, oh, we need to update our guidelines, no, they were fraudulent from the start. There is no, we should never imply that they ever were worth anything in terms of science, because the 120 studies that were used to purportedly create the guideline back in 1990 and 91, actually, were all pre-1990 studies, number one. So they're old studies now. And they, 15 of them actually showed adverse effects at levels lower than the hazard threshold itself, which means it just proves that the scientific studies actually disproved the guideline rather than mm-hmm. establishing it. And that actually was the work of someone from Washington State, David Fichtenberg. He was a wonderful guy who started getting the moratoria all across the U.S. as well. And so, you know, we're all grateful, you know, to David in Washington. And I know he put something like $30,000 of his own money into this as well. And so, you know, a lot of people have really given their lives to make huge progress in this field. And I just give everything myself. So anyway, hope to hear from many people about all of these things. We'll go further.
Absolutely. And I certainly hope there's some people that can be trained to duplicate you, Susan. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And I hope I can have you on the show in the future.
Thank you, Ingrid. And let's just remember to be loving to everyone and help everyone who's suffering. Thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much, Susan. And we'll be in touch. I'll be sharing with this at our meeting tomorrow. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Ingrid. You're great. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic